As a tennis player, I always wanted to just get stats on my game, and there was no way to do that, you know. Unless you're a professional and you're playing on like center court at Wimbledon, you don't really have access to really good data on your game. You need some expensive system that has like 10 cameras installed on the court, thousands of dollars. No, you know, amateur player can afford that. And so I wanted to build something like Strava, where it's like super easy. Anybody can use it just using your phone, nothing else. And I think my work at Tesla gave me the confidence that we could try to build something using the iPhone camera to track the ball trajectory and generate all the same stats, and maybe someday even solve the line calling problem.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. I'm keeping our theme of AI in sports running. For the month of June, we've had some excellent guests already. We started in motorsports with Grip. We don't get to talk much about motorsports. That was a lot of fun. We talked about AI for injury prevention with Zone 7, a leading light in that area. And today, it's all about the love. And that's in tennis, though. We're going to talk. Yeah, I get a bit cheesy for my intro. Stop judging me. We have a tennis-based startup. One of the leading lights in that sport, I have to say, a company called Swing Vision. And I have the CEO, Swapnil Sahai, on the episode today. Welcome to the show, Swapnil.
Hey, thanks for having me. Super excited to be here.
Yeah, like I said, I promise it won't be as south as cheesy as an intro, but yeah, a little bit of fun on a Thursday afternoon is not so bad. All right, Swapnil, so where are you calling in from, first of all?
I'm calling in from San Mateo, California, right here, kind of in the heart of Silicon Valley. That's where we're based. We actually just got a new office here.
Fantastic. And the reason I bring that up also is because that would have made it easy for you to pop over to WWDC. And what did you do at WWDC? So please tell us.
Yeah, WWDC this year was crazy. I've been there before, but this was definitely the biggest one yet. They announced the new Vision Pro headset, which I actually got to see in person, which is like super cool. And we actually finally won one of these guys. I actually brought it with here with me. This is our Apple Design Award, so it's pretty cool. So there are only six apps that win every year, and we were one of them. It's a huge honor, and it's kind of like your dream as an app developer. So that was definitely the highlight of the week for us.
That is quite a highlight. When Apple is giving you a design award, then I think you guys are definitely doing something right. You're fully representing the Apple brand, by the way. So props to that as well. I believe you won. I had a quick look at the TechCrunch article. Won best app in the innovation category. I didn't see any more specific beyond that. So was it innovation in sport or just innovation?
No, it's just innovation in general. So, I mean, they have six categories. They have inclusivity. They have kind of like interaction, social impact, you know. And so it was amazing because this isn't just sports. This is like any app on the App Store. There's, you know, millions of apps on the App Store, literally, and only six win every year. So it's a huge honor. And I mean, some of the other winners were some leading consumer products like Headspace and Duolingo. So this really, I think, puts us at the really top there. And we won for innovation. So, you know, it's incredible. It's not just innovation in sports, it's innovation in anything. So it's a big deal. And we're super proud, and I think we got it because we've just had this amazing integration of all of Apple's products. We're really kind of the bleeding edge. I mean, I think there's no other app that's doing as much as we are in any category with your phone. I mean, we're really doing some intense processing here. It's equivalent to what's running in like a self-driving car, but it's running on your iPhone. So it's pretty insane that we can even do it. But it's obviously amazing to get the recognition from Apple.
That is incredible. We want to dive into that, also address that Headspace and Duolingo, two apps that I use very often, but let's say not suboptimally. It's one of those, like, I hope to be better with my language learning and my meditation, but nobody wants to know about that. First, what we do want to know about is you and Swing Vision. So before I get to Swing Vision, I want to talk to you. I want to know about the man or the team behind the product. Where did this come from? Like, what's your background? What took you to setting up Swing Vision?
Yeah, I mean, bit background on myself. So, you know, I was born and raised here in Silicon Valley. I've played tennis my whole life. Went to Berkeley for my undergrad, where I actually now teach as a professor. And I went to Columbia to pursue my PhD in statistics. So I was trying to go the academia route. But while I was there, I got interested in self-driving cars, actually. And so I ended up working at Tesla and the Autopilot team after I finished my PhD. And that's kind of where I started to get really experienced in kind of computer vision and tracking objects using the cameras. And I got to see how powerful that could be. And as a tennis player, I always wanted to just get stats on my game. And there was no way to do that, you know. Unless you're a professional and you're playing on like center court at Wimbledon, you don't really have access to really good data on your game. You need some expensive system that has like 10 cameras installed on the court, thousands of dollars. No, you know, amateur player can afford that. And so I wanted to build something like Strava, where it's like super easy. Anybody can use it just using your phone, nothing else. And I think my work at Tesla gave me the confidence that we could try to build something using the iPhone camera to track the ball trajectory and generate all the same stats, and maybe someday even solve the line calling problem, which is probably the biggest problem in all of tennis. So that was really kind of the initial idea. It was just more of a dream. And it was like, hey, let's see what we can do with a phone. And as we kind of built the app and launched it out in the world, that's where it started to really pick up. And it's been amazing to see how customers have used it. The product has evolved a lot over the last 4 years since we launched. But that's kind of the short story on Swing Vision and myself.
And we'll get to more details on Swing Vision, but I have to, I mean, so you've got the accolade, the award that you showed us, but a quick look at your website seems to tell me that Apple likes you guys a lot. So you want App of the Day in May 2020. You've been part of the iPhone keynote the iPad keynote, both in 2021. So it's like you're a poster child almost in this area. No wonder you're sporting plenty of Apple goods. Amazing success. Kudos on all the success. That's great to hear. We've actually known Swapnil and Swing Vision for a while. We did a small tennis tech event back in 2020. Swapnil and I were just talking before we came on for the recording. It's great to see you guys progress since then. Like I said, we did that in 2020, and it feels like every year you guys have moved forward. Move forward with what? Now, break down the product a bit for anybody who doesn't know what Swing Vision is.
Yeah, so basically the way it works is if you're going out to play tennis, you set up your phone on the back of the court. We have our own stand now that we sell. It's basically like a selfie stick. It fits in your tennis bag, but you can sort of like extend it and like hook it on top of the fence. And that gives you this amazing angle of the court from behind. And then you just start recording, and the app does everything from that point. So it's using the cameras, it's recording your video, processing the video in real time on your device. So the video is not being sent to the cloud or anything like that. It's all just using the power of your device and the neural engine on the iPhone. And then from there, we're able to generate stats of both players. Doesn't matter which side of the court you're on. We track the stats for everybody. We can tell you the speed of your shots. Where is the ball landing? Is it in? Is it out? Is it a forehand? Is it a backhand? And from that, what's really incredible is once you're done recording, you get access to all these amazing highlights. So immediately you can see like, show me all the forehands I missed or all the backhand winners that I made. And then instantly you will create a highlight reel of that. And I think that's really been the magic of the app, is it's just all this stuff is just done automatically. And then more recently now, you can even challenge line calls. So like if someone hits it really close to the line, you're not sure if it was in, you can actually just pull up your Apple Watch and like challenge the call. It'll show you a zoomed in slow motion replay of the shot, and it'll tell you what Swing Vision thinks happened, whether it was in or out. So that's been really fun to use. And obviously you could see how that's going to be massive for amateur competitions. That's kind of how Swing Vision works. And it's pretty incredible because it's the only product that's able to do this with just one camera, one phone. Traditionally, you need to have at least two cameras. Most systems have like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cameras that are necessary to triangulate the ball. But we're basically the only ones to be able to figure out how to do this with one camera. And we've patented that technology as well.
Yeah, I think tennis is one of the sports that lends itself to computer vision quite nicely because it's a finite area. The angles are relatively clean about where you need to set up to make sure you get both players in frame and the full court and stuff like that. So it's a sport that you can. I think there's a reason also we've seen a lot of good companies, mainly Israeli tech, which has spent time on this. But you've actually taken it down to your iPhone. And I say iPhone specifically because you have not bothered with us Android users for some reason. Are we just of no interest to Android users? Don't play tennis? Like, what is that story?
No, we've been working really closely with engineers at Google and Samsung on it, actually. And it's really just hardware limitations, unfortunately. So Apple's hardware is just really far ahead on the AI side. The latest kind of high-end Google and Samsung phones have kind of caught up in AI processing, but the issue now is more just kind of heat management. So, for example, the latest Pixel 7, we actually are able to run Swing Vision on it, but if we're recording at like 60 frames per second, it actually overheats in like 15 minutes, which is not enough for a tennis match. Yeah. And then Samsung actually doesn't even allow third-party apps to record at 60 FPS. So they kind of cap out at 30, which is not good enough for tennis. The ball is moving too fast. You can't do much at 30 frames per second. You need 60. So it's really just been a hardware limitation. Unfortunately, it's out of our hands. We want to come to Android. We're dying to come to Android. We just haven't been able to do it. And it's sort of kind of, it's going to happen eventually, but I think we have to just wait for the hardware to get there and the software to support it as well. It's almost there though, I feel.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's super interesting to me, the fact that you found Apple technology able to support what the computing power that you needed three and a half years ago. But I don't know when you started experimenting, like say 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps. And till today, as you pointed out, the Google Pixel 7 still can't handle that load. That's a bit insane almost.
It is crazy. I mean, like literally you can run Swing Vision and do real-time line calling all the way back to iPhone 11. I mean, we're on iPhone 14 now. It's been a while. It's crazy. It's like four generations of iPhone essentially. So and actually it's funny, like so many Android customers, especially outside of the US, they'll just buy an iPhone 11 because it's so cheap now. You can buy an iPhone SE for like $150 and it's like so cheap, and then you can just use that. So a lot of people are just buying iPhones to use Swing Vision. I get emails pretty much like every day about this. It's incredible. But you know, we will go to Android eventually, as soon as we can. So
yeah, I feel like you're dodging Android. Like I'm trying to dodge this weird light in my face. I've really set up horribly today. Sorry, I was in a bit of a rush. So audio listeners, you don't have to worry about it. But people who see this on video will be like, what is he doing with that light? It's just natural light. And the sun is moving in the sky. So I can't help it. Sorry, guys. All right. Let's keep chugging along. We talked about Swing Vision. You've obviously had a lot of successes within the Apple universe. You've covered the awards and stuff. I know you also raised a round, was it last year or the year before, with Wildcard Ventures?
From Wildcard, that was actually towards the end of 2021. So it's been some time since then. But yeah, that was our seed round. We raised $2 million from them. So that's Wildcard Ventures, which is Tennis Australia. So they've been an amazing partner. We met them initially through our TechStars Accelerator program that we went through in 2020, which is back when we spoke. It's been an incredible journey with them there. And we've just been chugging along since then, but it's been pretty exciting.
Yeah, we actually had a call. Well, we featured Wildcard Ventures and Marka Reed on this podcast. Right. We did that in March, I believe. So go check out that episode if you haven't heard it already. So you've had these awards. You've obviously got a really good investing partner who is basically the owner of tennis or one of the major opens as well. What has been some of the key successes beyond this that you've really felt that have been have given you more hope to drive the company forward? Are you raising another round? Have you closed some big partnerships? What else have you guys been up to?
Yeah, I mean, I think like the biggest traction has just been, you know, on the customer side. You know, we have a consumer subscription model. We've surpassed like over 10,000 paying subscribers like late last year. We also started getting used in the college market. So we have nearly 100 Division I tennis teams in the US that are using Swing Vision and paying for it, which is pretty exciting. You know, we have like all the top teams you've heard of, Harvard, Stanford, Yale, you know, all the top schools, Berkeley. So that's really exciting to see that recognition and also just the adoption in the market. And I think it's just amazing to see how like it's really fulfilling the dream we had, which was we wanted to bring that Hawkeye technology to everybody. And you're seeing that in our customer base. You're seeing like the weekend warrior who's just playing, you know, after work or playing on the weekends, or the junior who's like trying to go into college or playing high school, or the actual Division I player. I mean, it seems like Swing Vision has something for everybody, which is exactly what we intended to do. So it's been nice to sort of see the scope of the product and the adoption. And obviously, we have a lot more work to do. We're still super tiny. I mean, there's 90 million tennis players in the world. This is a lot of people to get to. So we got a long way to go. And there's additional sports that we want to try to tackle too, which we're going to start to do this year. But overall, I think those have just been the big points for us, is just, you know, hitting some of those revenue milestones, customer base milestones, showing that we've actually built a product that people will pay for. It's not just one that people will use for free. It's providing very significant value. And, you know, we have really good retention as well. So I think like all of that's been great from like the business side. And that definitely helps with investor conversations and that too. So, no, yeah, overall, it's been pretty exciting the last couple of years.
Yeah, what better credibility than thumbs up from your users, from people who actually want to spend money to buy a product. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the actual tech, or like, let's say the evolution of tech. So you started, I don't think you told me the year. Was it like 18, 19? When did you actually start?
2019 was when I left 19. Tesla, yeah.
So, and it was always going to be an AI-based product where you were using the computing power of the iPhone, as you said. Since then, you could argue, depending, certainly from a layman's perspective, somebody from the outside the tech world's perspective, AI is a topic that has erupted, of course, with ChatGPT now on everybody's phone and involved in everybody's life in a significant way. For you, as somebody who's been using technology related to using AI for your product, have you seen any change? Has this been a ramp up in the evolution of AI in the data sets that you are working with since the launch of, say, ChatGPT 1 to 4 to OpenAI's, open APIs as they're opening stuff up? Does that change the speed at which you're working on your product?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been lots of innovation in AI. And I think lately, a lot of it's been focused on these like language models, you know, which are helpful for a chat type of interface. You know, that's not something that we do today in Swing Vision. We're very much more focused on like vision-based models. And video, but there is also innovation happening there in terms of generative AI. You're seeing some really cool companies coming out and just the amazing stuff that, for example, Adobe's been doing with Photoshop and integrating AI there to, you know, make editing a lot faster and easier. And that's going to kind of permeate to video pretty soon too. And it's going to become extremely easy to do video editing. You know, you'll be able to do that with just some basic text prompts, and you won't need to be an expert in Adobe Premiere to make an amazing cinema quality video. So I think that's really exciting. And that's probably more of where there might be some learnings for us in terms of being able to iterate more quickly. You know, I think ultimately one thing that's different from us compared to most other AI startups is we don't really depend on these other technologies. We have our own proprietary data that we collect. You know, we're not just like a wrapper on ChatGPT or something like that. So I think that's always been us from the beginning, is we are kind of the base layer on the AI. We have our own data. We have our own models. We don't depend on anybody else. But obviously, we still try to learn from the industry and what's happening in the latest research and technology there. And so, you know, we're going to be doing some cool stuff in generative AI eventually. And in potentially even with language models too, kind of going more into next year will be the focus. But right now we're still sort of trying to hone the core product experience that we have in Swing Vision. But it's a very exciting time, I think, for anybody to make a company in AI. And we're just going to see a lot of great startups, which is awesome to see. So.
Which is awesome to see. And you talked about your first party data. So of course, you're collecting so much data through the camera of the phone. And that's the data that you're using AI computing power to leverage all sorts of good stuff with.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
So, I want to touch upon something that you just said towards the end, that we're going to use this and to help evolve the product further, either using LLMs, let's not even go, like everybody's going to have an easy text prompt on everything now. So that's like almost like a given. But on the video side of things, how do you see the product evolving? Is there like a next big leap that you think that you can take, or is like just continuous iterations which will be better than the one before?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple of like fun examples are, let's say you're live streaming a match with Swing Vision, right? And so, you know, maybe you're playing like a college match or it's like a high school match, your parents can't attend, or you have like your friends and family wanting to tune in from around the world or around the country. And so imagine we could layer on top this like AI generated commentary. So you could, you can like choose your commentary. You could say, I want John McEnroe to commentate this match, and it'll be personalized, and you'll see John, you'll hear him say your name. Like, wow, that was an amazing shot. You know, from John there down the line, whatever it is, right? Like, it'd be personalized, AI generated, and it's going to feel realistic. So I think that's a really kind of fun application of AI there that we can do. And I think also using generative AI on the video side would be kind of interesting, is that you could kind of watch the video from any angle. So even though we're using a single camera for a capture, we could sort of recreate the scene and let you watch it from any angle. So if I'm trying to watch my son play, like, I can make sure I'm always right behind him, whichever side he's on the court, or I can see an instant replay from like different angles, just like you see it on TV. You know, you could basically make that viewing experience equivalent to what you see when you watch professional tennis, but you do that at the amateur level. So I think it's really just all in that same spirit of what we've tried to do, which is bring the pro experience, right? That's always been us from the beginning. And so that's what AI will enable you to do from the viewing experience, is like anybody can watch their tennis and it'll look like a pro match. It'll have all the same characteristics. You can have the logos around the court. You can superimpose a stadium court if you want to. You can make it look like you're playing in Wimbledon. Like, I mean, you can just see how crazy this gets. But I think it's going to be very fun, and I think it'll bring out lots of creativity to the content that people capture and create from their own matches. So yeah, it's going to be super exciting, and it's just around the corner. It's not too far away, I think.
And well, just around the corner for you guys, we've already seen what you just talked about. Quickly to address, like, the AI commentary thing, like, as part of the series, I really wanted to get the guys from IBM on the series, because they did, I don't know if you saw their partnership with the Masters, the Golf Masters. And they did AI commentary for the PGA Tour Masters, which is, when you imagine, like, obviously there are what, 300 odd golfers on the course at any point in time. You can't get to follow everyone. It's just impossible to have commentators, at least, even if you get the camera to follow a bit. But press the red button, you want to follow your player. Now you can have AI commentary to follow your player. Like, that was a really nice use case. I love the AI commentary. We actually mess around with the debate. It looks a bit fun. And the 3D imaging is also a super, super fun one, where you can take every court, every player, and obviously do immersion in the viewing experience, which is a really interesting use case as well. So I think the directions that we're heading in are, it feels almost like limitless in one way, but also limiting, clearly, because something as basic as hardware for Android is not up to where you want it to be, which is like a big reality check on one side. But on the other side, you're hey, let's do this 3D immersion, and let's play, you know, Wimbledon on Mars kind of thing. And both are weirdly equally possible, which is a fun moment that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point you bring up there. It almost feels like there's sort of like a dichotomy in like the experiences people will be able to have potentially, right? Because you have this technology that's advancing so fast. The hardware is not really able to keep up necessarily on everybody's devices. So you might have these like differing experiences. But I mean, I think it's all just a matter of time. And, you know, hardware will get better everywhere. And just some people will get the technology a little bit sooner than others. But hopefully, you know, it will permeate to everybody, and everyone will have that same universal experience one day.
Yeah, starting with people who have $3,500 to spend on a VR headset. I mean, I would put it on a business expense, but I'm not going to buy one for my daughter, probably. You know what I mean? Like, there is a difference in that. All right, fantastic. But yeah, good to see. Like, that's where I'm usually most interested in talking to the founders, as we've been doing through this episode. Like, how have you been using AI till now, which I think is fairly clear that you've been using it to just be better with processing your data sets, get more accurate insights, and present that to the user. But like, what next? Because now it seems like there's so much more possible. And for you, like, the commentary and the 3D imaging stuff makes a lot of sense. All right, let's talk about that. Like, what's coming up for you guys in the next few months, a year or so? Like, what's on the horizon?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing for us is actually the line calling and how accurate it's gotten now. You know, we're actually doing a pilot this summer. So here in the U.S., there's going to be some sanctioned tournaments, junior events that are going to be completely officiated by Swing Vision, which is going to be unreal, because all of those events have never had any sort of officiating. They can't afford umpires even. They can't afford to pay somebody that much on that many courts. And so, you know, these are events where historically the players have called the ball in or out themselves, which leads to all kinds of issues and problems and arguments and parents getting upset. And it's just like, it's not fun. And so we're really going to improve that experience by, I think, 1,000 decks. And the idea here is...
Just to stay on that, is it still just one phone on court, or you have like at least two phones, one on each side kind of thing?
No, so for this first pilot, it's just going to be one device on the fence, but there will be a secondary device at the net post, which is where players will be able to go to do the challenge. So they'll be able to kind of interact with the technology and kind of administer a challenge.
That's just for the interaction.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's not tracking anything, just for interaction. And, you know, if we want to, like, we can eventually build a system that would have, like, one on each side. But what we're finding is that even with just one at the backcourt, we actually have better accuracy for those close calls than the players do. We've surpassed human accuracy at this point on both sides of the court with just one camera. So, you know, you could use two, but, like, you're not going to really be able to tell the difference as a human because it's still better than your eyes. But yeah, we wanted to start with one. We wanted to keep it really affordable, really accessible. You know, as these devices get cheaper and cheaper, two devices will be pretty easy to do too. You know, you could imagine. But yeah, that's the plan. And I think it's really exciting. It's the first time it's going to be used in an actual sort of like USTA kind of an event. You know, for these kids who are playing, I'm super jealous that they're going to have this technology. I definitely wish I had it growing up in some of those competitive matches. So it's pretty exciting. And we're hoping that this is going to be kind of a proof point. We're going to try to, you know, just nail the user experience here by the end of the summer. And then kind of going into next year, hoping to roll this out to, you know, hopefully, you know, more and more tournaments around the country and eventually around the world. And that's really the plan. And, you know, we're focused on junior events because that's where I think we can have a really big impact. That's where the budgets are going to be a little bit less. So cost is a big concern. I think that's also where live streaming has a big potential because especially if you're a top junior going around the world or the country, your parents can't come with you everywhere. So there's a big demand there to be able to watch these streams from the family. And ultimately that's the biggest drop-off point in tennis. It's kids playing competitively and then running into these issues with like line calling, and it just becomes like a bad experience. Like there's no other sport where you have to worry about this. Tennis is basically the only sport where there are no refs, even at the junior level. You know, you think about basketball, baseball, all these sports, they all have umpires. Even if you're playing little league in middle school, you have an umpire, but somehow in tennis there's like nothing. So I think there's a big need there for this solution. So we're really excited to finally be able to do this. Just can't wait for everyone to be able to use it eventually.
Well, you talked about ramping up the user experience. I would imagine you also probably have to ramp up your customer service, maybe your legal side as well, because those angry parents, they need somebody to vent, man, when the kid is lost. The parents want to start shouting it at the wall, like they need to shout. So maybe it's inclusion, unfortunately. but just quickly a follow-up on that. So you mentioned that this is line calling and also live streaming. So is it the same device that is doing both simultaneously?
Yeah, it is insane. It is one device doing everything, yeah.
And this is an iPhone 11 or 12, whatever. So it is completely capturing everything that it needs to on court, and the players are interacting at the net and whatever to make their calls. At the same time, it's pushing the feed out to whoever wants to grab the broadcast. Now, I mean, logically, it would be the same camera, but it's just that all that computing power just in that phone is what's like. If this is a big device, I'd believe it. But just
yeah, well, I mean, I guess to be fair, we will probably use iPad minis here just because we do need longer battery life. You know, there might be multiple matches in a single day on a single court. You know, so it's not. I don't think an iPhone could do all of this. You know, for so long. But I think an iPad mini can comfortably do it, which is still not bad. It's like a $500 device, and it's incredible that you're replacing what previously required multiple cameras, multiple camera operators, you know, and then also you needed like a server of some kind to process everything and then potentially an umpire. And it's amazing. And so you can just do this all with this device, and this device is only going to get cheaper every year, right? So it's just going to get more and more accessible. So yeah, super excited.
I have to give you, I don't know if I should give you props or big bats or what, but you're the first person to make me actively feel bad about always having been an Android user and not like willing to push that. No, I don't want to get into the Apple ecosystem or whatever. Like these devices are amazing. And I switch between my OnePlus and my Pixels and mess around with that. And And no, I shouldn't talk is what I'm doing. But no, that the fact that you at least need an iPad makes me feel better. But let's not talk about that. All right, one thing that I do want to touch on is how much you guys are doing outside of just tennis. Like, I know we've mentioned a couple of times that we're talking to a tennis-based startup where we've had suddenly an explosion of a couple of racket sports in different parts of the world. Paddle around here in Europe is going nuts, but pickleball in the US is going nuts. So are those sports that you are working with addressing anytime soon, already are?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, tennis is always going to be the core of our company, but, you know, I think we've built something really unique that, again, no one's really done in any sport with a single camera. And I think you mentioned, you know, it's because it's kind of that nice, you can see everything from one angle. But I think there's a lot of sports actually beyond even racket sports that fit that criteria. But for us, as a startup, we're still small. We don't want to spread ourselves too thin. So, you know, we want to start out with a sport that's going to be pretty similar, pretty easy to do. Also similar from a demographics perspective because we're iOS only. So for that, you know, pickleball definitely checks off everything for us. And so we have actually already begun development for pickleball. The plan is to have that in beta this fall. So really excited for that. And then, next year is going to be all about paddle for us. That sport is growing like crazy. And I think it's going to probably overtake pickleball even in the US someday. We're already seeing it kind of sprout in Miami on the East Coast here. So it's really exciting. And I still haven't had a chance to play it yet. But those are the two next ones for us for sure. And then from there, we'll see, you know, what makes sense. We're always reassessing. But I think for the next couple of years, we'll be pretty busy with just those two.
Yeah, for sure. You already got line calling, which is on the way, and you addressed like two huge markets that you're opening up. Makes sense that you go with pickleball first. Yeah, I've tried a bit of paddle. Haven't tried pickleball yet. So next time I am, I'll have to get one of your iPhones maybe to help me with line calling and stuff. Looking forward to that. All right, Sophia, it's been an absolute pleasure, man, chatting with you. It's been a lot of fun. I'm going to give you my last question, which is the one I like to end the podcast on. It's, I always believe we're sports fans first. Beyond being entrepreneurs and people who are fortunate enough to work in this industry. So what has been your favorite sporting moment? Either one as a fan or maybe one as an athlete from
back. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think as a fan, like I grew up watching Federer, like he's my favorite. And I think like I'll never forget Australian Open 2017 when he beat Nadal in five sets. That final, I remember being in New York. I flew back to New York because I was in grad school at the time. That was my last year up at Columbia. And I stayed up till, I don't know, it was probably like 6 a.m. watching that match. And all of my friends were in California watching it. It was like 3 a.m. for them. And that was just such a gift because at that point, I mean, you know, he's given so much to his fans and he didn't need to go and have that another amazing season that he had that year. But that was just such an amazing gift to like see him win that one last kind of like epic match. And he won a couple more slams after that still. But like that was like the last big one, I feel like. And so that was like the favorite for me. That was so cool to see. I'll never forget that. So definitely miss him playing on the court. But now I'm watching Alcaraz. And so I still got a new person to follow now, which is fun.
I think the word you used was super apt. It was a gift for fans. I remember watching that. We were on holiday in Europe and I think it was in Barcelona or something. And there are people huddled everywhere. Like you could just feel the energy because I'm in Spain, obviously in Barcelona. I remember the energy around for Rafa and we're like in this corner cheering for Roger. But I mean, no hate on Rafa.
Of course. Yeah.
It's been a gift to watch these athletes perform at the level that they have. Sophniel, it's been amazing to watch you on your journey so far. Long may it like keep kicking butts and keep us posted on how things go. Hope to hear from you with more awards. Maybe.
Yeah, hopefully. No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much always for the support. It's always great talking to you and I'm sure we'll do this again soon.
Yep, I hope to soon. As always, that's another one of our AI in sports conversations done. Tennis was the theme for today's episode, and I think we had a good one. All right, I don't even remember what we have next, but we have two more really good episodes in this series. And the month, and for the July, actually, we've just started conversations, booked up a couple of guests. We're going to focus on sports tech for women's sports, not sports tech for women. It's sports tech for women's sports and how tech can help engage and bring women's sports to wider audiences and all the layers within that. We've got some investors, got some startup founders, got some initiatives, got a really nice lineup for that as well. So more to come in AI and sports, but stay tuned for that topic in July as well. All right, see you guys next week. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.